Concepts. I'm Keith Fields. Thanks for tuning in. Amen. I want to start with a prayer. Father, thank you so much for another day, another opportunity to glorify you and experience your blessings and your grace. For you are the one true and living God. You are above all other God. Amen. You are mighty, and salvation is in your hand. Father, we humble ourselves. We repent of evil that we have done in your sight. We repent of our sins that we have committed against not only you, but against others. Father, we ask that you forgive us and that you teach us to forgive those that have sinned against us, those that have transgressed against us. Lord, help us to glory in trials and in tribulations, knowing that you defend us and you deliver us and you protect us, and that you have called us according to your purpose, and you have taught us that no man is greater than his master. And Heavenly Father, you have given up your life. You've laid down your life for us. Teach us to lay down our lives for your glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise God. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing and opportunity it is to be here today and to share the Word of God with you. And today we're going to touch on the book of Matthew, chapter 23. And we're going to look for the Holy Spirit to speak, guide us as we read his word, and hope that we will come to a deeper understanding of word and our relationship to Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then Jesus spake to the multitude and said, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid, you observe. Observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Let's slow down and back up and look at what we just read before we go on. So Jesus speaking to the multitude about the scribes and the Pharisees. And the first thing he said is that they sit in Moses' seat. And God gave the law to Mount Sinai to Moses. And Moses gave it to the children of Israel. And it was by that law that the children of Israel were to live by God's law. And at the time Jesus was speaking to the multitude, the scribes and the Pharisees were essentially doing the same thing amongst the children of Israel. They were handling the word and governing the people of Israel by not only the word of God, but by their interpretation of the word of God. And they were working to govern the people and to decipher the word and judge in difficult matters concerning the word. And they were the keepers and the guides of the things of the temple and of religion amongst the people. And they were set apart from the average person. So Jesus goes on to say that what all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and they do not. So the Lord is saying essentially that listen to them. They're not whatever they ask you to do, observe it and do it, but don't be like them. Don't follow their example, because they're saying they're not backing up what they say. They're not practicing what they preach, so to speak. And then he qualifies it. He explains why he said that, and he says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their work they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the market, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi." Okay, what did he just say? Jesus just explained to the people. He said, well, they're not practicing what they preach, and they make things hard for you. But they don't make things hard on themselves. They'll tell you to do this and to do that, but they won't even do it themselves. But if you remember, Jesus is telling them, well, just go on and do what they say, but they're not doing it themselves, and they're binding heavy burdens onto you, and it's going to be grievous to you to hold them. And they put them on your shoulders, and they won't do a thing to move them with one of their fingers. Will they help you? Will they to bear these burdens, or do they just make things even harder on you? There's a lot of examples that we can look at today where this type of thing happens. But Jesus goes on and he says, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men." So here, the Lord is introducing to us the idea of this element of pride that motivates some of these people to in what they're doing. And so he says that one of the signs, one of the things that they do that shows this pride is they make broad their phylacteries, and that's basically a leather little pouch with a strap that they would wear around their foreheads, and it contained certain portions of the Mosaic Law, which was the law given to Moses, and so. They would wear that around their heads, and I guess it was sort of like to show their dedication, their holiness. It really was a symbol to show their separation and their position. And so they would just make those bigger and bigger. It's sort of like a person wearing a great big cross, and you're looking around and you're saying, who's got the biggest cross? Whose cross is made out of pure gold? Or, you know, who has the best Bible, the biggest Bible, or, you know, the most expensive Bible? You know, and then it said they would enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seat in the synagogue. So you can sort of see where they kind of love this type of elevation and this type of appearance among men. He said that they like to be seen and recognized of men, And when they went into the temples, they would want to sit in the biggest chairs in the highest places so that everyone could see them, and they would have on their grand garments. They loved for people, when they would see people, they would have these greet each other, and they would have their special types of elaborate greetings, and they loved for people to call them rabbi. And Jesus goes on in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 23, talking about these scribes and Pharisees and this prideful and behavior. He says that they love to be called rabbis, and they love their greetings in the market. But then he goes on in verse 8 and says, "But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren." Amen. That really hit my spirit. You know, the Lord is saying to the people, one is your master. That is Christ. And all you are brethren. And he's saying, so don't be called master. And sometimes isn't it easy to sort of forget about Christ and look at man and their elaborate ceremonies and their pomp and their circumstance, and to look at that and get mesmerized by that and see them sitting up high in their special places with their special garments and their greetings and all of that stuff that surrounds them. And it's easy for people to put them on a pedestal and forget that they are a man just like everyone else. And it's easy to feel less of in God's eyes because of seeing other people like that, because you don't you might not have on that really beautiful garment, or you may not have those titles, and you might not receive those type of greetings in the market. Maybe no one even knows you, but God knows you. And as far as God is concerned, you're all brothers, and he loves you just as much as he loves anyone else. As a matter of fact, Jesus had quite an adversarial relationship with these scribes and Pharisees. They were very against his ministry and what he was doing, because he did not come through them and get their approval. He was not in their group. He didn't operate the way they operated, but he operated in authority, and he operated with power, the power of God, and the God-given authority. And so they were threatened by it, but also they saw it as out of line. And I believe that you could, it would be safe to say that many of them probably didn't see themselves as doing anything wrong, because this was the way things were done. And after all, in order for them to be where they're at, they had to go through the ceremonies and the rituals and get to the place where they were over the people or held that certain position or that certain title. And when Jesus came along, the scriptures say that Jesus would go and he would teach the people. And the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, they would come to Jesus and they would ask him, whose authority are you doing these things? And even though they believed that they were doing something right, their minds had gotten so entrenched in this type of thinking that they couldn't recognize Christ while he was right in the midst of them. The Messiah that they saw that was coming, they couldn't receive him. They couldn't receive his word. They couldn't fellowship with him because of the mindset, the situation that they were trying to uphold, the traditions that they were trying to perpetuate. And so when Jesus came along and he wasn't a part of that as far as they could see, they naturally had to reject that and try to bring him into subjection of them. And isn't it interesting when you look at who Jesus is, that he was the Word of God manifested in the flesh, dwelling among us. And man could not accept him. And it's a lot like that even today. We get so entrenched in the way that we've always done things and the way that we're doing things and our appearances and our titles, and we get so used and so in love with the way that we're doing things that we can't accept when God tries to do something new, when something different comes along, when someone different comes along. They can't function within our group. We can't receive them within our group because they don't function like we do. Amen. And we could also look at that in another way, in the terms of Jesus, in the terms of him being the Word of God. Going back to saying, can man at times, because of their traditions, they will choose their traditions over the Word of God. Even though the Word of God, if the Word of God is totally opposite of what it is that they are doing or saying, they would rather lean to what they think or what someone else says than to stand in the Word of God. And a lot of times what is behind that is pride, because when the Word of God comes forward and it says things like, don't let anyone call you rabbi or master. Well, if you're called master and this is your identity, and because of this you're praised and you're set apart and you love that, you get the big seat and you get the gold ring, or where you wear the the $1,000 robe or whatever, and everyone looks at you and they're like, wow, you know, that's a holy person. You know, you've got the biggest cross, the biggest Bible. But the Word of God says that you are equal to that poor person that's sitting way in the back. That one that is wearing rags, that you are their brother. And so when you hear that word and you look at them, if you're prejudiced, if you don't like black people or you don't like white people or Asian people or whatever it is, and you have a fellowship and everybody in there is the same race, and then someone of a different race comes in, and so you're upset because this person is a different race and you can't receive them because of that. So sometimes the Word of God convicts us and it tears down our strongholds, these things that we put into place to separate us and to divide us. And the Lord is calling us for unity and relationship, and he's tearing down those walls, and he's made things simple. But through our ways, we make things complicated and hard, and we get further and further from the Word. Amen. Well, let's try to go on here. Let's go down to Let's go back over verse 8 and go from there. So, he said, Jesus said, "Be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all are your brethren." Then he says, "Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." He repeats it again. And then he says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Amen. Amen. So now he's just flipped everything on its head. So now, when we're looking, you know, I heard a preacher say, he said, he was talking about people saying that you can't judge, don't judge. And the scripture talks about you, you'll be able to know people by their fruit. Well, he came out and he said, "Well, I can't be a judge, but I can be a fruit inspector." And so, you know, that's a very good point, really, because that's the Lord has already told us that we're going to bear fruit, and the scriptures tell us what the fruit of the Spirit is. And if we don't bear fruit, then we're cut off of the vine and thrown into the fire. So this bearing fruit is important to God, and that we bear fruit that's pleasing to Him. And it's a way that we can identify each other, who's who, what position we have in the body, whether we're in the body or not. So we can be a fruit inspector. And so this is an example of that here in verse 11. It's saying, "He that is greatest among you shall be your servant." So when we look at who we consider as great among us, do we find ourselves serving them? Are they teaching us to serve them? Are they putting us in a situation to where we're serving them? Or are they serving us? I've seen situations where people have said they're in leadership positions, and they feel that their position is not to do anything to help people, but to administrate, and the people do whatever. And stuff. I've seen it get to the point to where there was almost a situation to where you can't even really find the leaders, and you can hardly even tell what they're doing. You know, you can't really discern their fruit. And so the people that are serving are the people that are supposedly under the leaders. So if the scripture is saying that if you're great, who's great among you serve you. So if I'm paying you and I'm doing the work, then who is greater? You know, if we're all equal, is there anyone greater? So if you want to be great, you have to have the mind of a servant, and you have to look at how you can serve people. So I believe that the Lord is encouraging people, and as we look through the scriptures, we can see that the apostles and the people that came before us in the faith, we can see how they gave their lives. And they went out and they did ministry. They were evangelistic, and there was elders in the church and things like that. And those were people that were experienced in the faith. But the big thing that determined who was who was their fruit. It wasn't their education, or anything like that. It was their fruit, what they did that advanced the kingdom. They were determined by what they did to edify the other people in the body, what they did to help build the church. So the criteria was based on who a person was than what they knew. We can even see the examples when Jesus chose the disciples. He didn't ask them, you know, where they went to school, or he didn't have any situation to where they had to go to school. I don't even see that in the Bible, really, where they had to go through any seminaries or anything like that. So when we go by the Word of God, many times it can turn what we're doing on its head. But if we choose that as our foundation for righteous living, it is sufficient and it is good, and we can learn a lot from it. And so are we willing to lay down our lives, or do we want to have the high seat? Do we want to be separate from everyone else and be noticed as some great person in the body of Christ? Or do we want to get down and do we want to serve? Do we want the tradition, or do we want to live a life that's pleasing to God and that is in line with His Word? Jesus Christ laid down His life. He put his Father's will and His Father's Word foremost. And He said that He didn't do or say anything but what God told Him to do. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. We pray that You continue to give us understanding and protect us, Lord. And pray that all those who are sick, all those that are seeking You, Lord God, all those that are hearing Your word, Lord God, we pray that they will be blessed, that they will be healed, and that they will come to a saving knowledge of You. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. You have been listening to Kingdom Concept. I'm Keith Fields. Visit us at kingdomconcept.net. You can pick up the link for our Facebook page, the podcast, and Holy Spirit is speaking to you about this ministry. Feel free to contact us on Facebook or at the station, and we're on every